Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular, I almost said Monday then, regular Wednesday stream.
It's Wednesday, my
Hooray! It is
dudes.
Wednesday. It is Wednesday, our dudes. Yes. Welcome. Welcome to Da
Yeah, sorry,
Stream.
they're not my dudes. They're our dudes.
Our dudes. Yes.
Du-du-du-du-du-du-du-du.
Our dudes. How is everybody doing out there? Say hemlo in chat. Hemlo friends. I see a lot of hemlos. Again, thank you to James, Mary, and Not Sure. I see some returning members there. So thank you guys. And John Morton just popped in. Hello again, all of our friends. Yeah, we missed last Wednesday. But we are here now, and we do try and make sure we have two streams a week. Busy one. We've had a kind of a busy week this week in terms of putting stuff out.
Yes.
I'm gonna see if I can get it into shape, but there is something ready to go out for the Substack at some point.
I think with my reworks, that should be good to go out tomorrow evening.
Yes. So we are still trying to push the anti-politics Substack as kind of a preamble. I don't need my cell phone. Not really.
More like I wish I didn't need my cell phone.
Yeah, basically. Unfortunately, you kind of do these days.
Yes.
They've made it so you have to have your cell
But
phone.
yes, please do interact with our stuff. Like the streams you're either watching live or are watching back just now. There is the Substack, there is what's left of me on Twitter, and there is also the Telegram, which I suppose is like for the absolute diehard, like hardcore. Maybe the one of the only places where you get the secret scrump posts.
You do get
He's
this.
out there, but you must seek him.
Yes, I am out there, but you must seek me. We also had an actual uploaded video yesterday. I've been uploading some of the stuff from the Substack as like a cross-posting exercise, and a lot of people enjoyed that. It's 12 minutes long. It's slightly shorter form content, and it is a spoken version of some of our written stuff. I know a lot of you guys struggle to find the motivation to read stuff, which I understand. It's kind of your eyes just glaze over, but no, it's
No, you should read. Reading is good for your brain.
well, we're trying to have a lot of our stuff in both formats, so we're trying to turn a lot of our stream notes into Substack pieces and our Substack pieces into videos. There are stuff that can't really translate either way. The more discussion-y stuff we can't really turn into
It
a
is also just a lot of
Substack.
work,
It is a lot of work, yes,
which is
where.
why we appreciate when people support us either via the super chats or the super stickers, or what a few people have been choosing to do, the PayPal, which is a way you can give to us directly without paying any sort of fees or this, that, or the next thing, as did Mr. Not Sure last week, which conveniently paid for a chippy last night because the veg we bought from Aldi was shite.
Actually, things have got so bad we had to chuck a whole bunch of food away that was basically rotten. And to not be an hour late with food, we just decided to get to buy some fish and chips because things are getting that bad out there that the food has become borderline inedible in many of the supermarkets. But
Yes.
that's just kind of by the by. But
If you see the effort or saw the effort I went to just to make nice chicken and chips, you would understand.
but we're here today to talk about some of our mantras for surviving modernity. We've kind of tried to drill these into a few people before. But we're just going through a section of topics and some of our, I don't know, it reminds me a little bit of AA's many, many treaties, like his 53 treaties or whatever. He's gonna do a
59, I think it was.
59, yeah, he was gonna do 100, but he gave up. But that's what this is more about, a slice, let's say, of some of our sayings, because a lot of people have been picking up on them. I notice people.
Why not? Let's just have a lot of fun. It's our greatest hits, really, in some ways. I think these are
Kind of.
definitely the. At least when we sort of see people IRL or people. Not just directly after a stream, come back to me later after. It is normally these little snippets sometimes tend to stand out.
The sound bites, but
Yes.
they're also things that we kind of use as a filtering mechanism. They're great ways just to remind yourself, and you get bombarded with so much stuff. It's very good to have little ways to talk to yourself or say things to yourself or remember to reframe things or remember not to get carried away with the current thing. And I think that not getting carried away with the current thing or swept up in hollow rhetoric, is the main thrust of these kind of mantras that we use. But
Yeah.
this is the first one,
I
and
think
it's the
this
most important one.
is quite close to something that you've wanted to do for a while, which is like principles, but just the way certain things are at the moment, and I think the view that we need to take, principles are, it's a nice idea, but I think more what we really have is something like orientations, or as the title have used, mantras, things to come back to and constantly ruminate on, because if we really truly grasp what they mean, we'll truly grasp what it is not to think like the common person or the modern person in any sense.
Yes, but it's really you are bombarded so much by kind of the Enlightenment liberal modern framing of history that it's very easy to lose sight of the fact that man is not born free and man is not born equal. And that basically torpedoes most of the guff people say. And that this is to many people an extremely kind of controversial viewpoint to take.
But it's just, to me, when you begin to take a view of politics that is not centered around what institutions or modern intellectuals would tell you or give you as starting points, you can sort of just deal away with so much crap. I mean, I remember the classic of annoying a lot of the agorist people on Twitter. But I'd just be like, well, man isn't born free because he doesn't choose when or where or how he wants to be born. This alone determines the fact that there is no nonsense about freedom or equality that can actually really be pointed to.
No, this is a great way to kind of kill your inner lulbut.
Yes.
This is something that the lulbuts can't get. So it's very much our like anti-lulbut action filter, but it's also possibly the most important framing for understanding the human condition. Because pre all the niceties and pre all the bullshit of modernity, this is just how people thought. This is really the default position for thousands of years.
Yes, I mean it's also like,
It's also the biblical position,
well, I
basically.
was gonna say, but you can get to there via Carlyle from just a very simple, notion of, well, if there is such a thing as freedom, it is freedom to choose a rightful master, or in the words of Anthony, is it Anthony Ludovici, who I've got a little bit to go off of in a sec from him, he sort of says that there is a want to choose essentially a life's bondage that is the correct one for your impulses.
Yes.
And as a consequence of this, I think we might as well go into it just now.
You do. You have a great quote here, and I think I found a way to actually make them more digestible, which is just to completely blow them out and invert them in
That's quite
Photoshop.
good, actually. It may be taken for granted, then, that strength and greatness know nothing of freedom. The strong man is not free. The great man is not free. Nor, for that matter, as history or the observation of our fellows can show, do they wish to be free. Only weakness is apparently free, or is conscious of desiring freedom, because having no strong native impetus to drive it willy-nilly in any given direction, it appears to be able to choose its own direction. Thus, only weakness can even desire freedom. And I think that's just such a, like, an integral point, because he's essentially suggesting that, like, if you are any individual worth your salt, you will be so driven towards something that you cannot engage with anything otherwise, that thing itself consumes you and your endeavor to try and achieve greatness in one specific sort of vein of life.
Is this the other quote
That's for the end,
for
yeah.
the exactly end? Okay. So that's a quote basically about the who's that from?
It's Anthony Ludovici and his book The False Assumptions of Democracy. Now, of course, as I noticed, a lot of people wanted the William Sanderson Statecraft book off of me, so if you want a PDF of that, you know where to find me, and I should be able to get that to you.
Yes. You've that's a
But
decent book.
that is, it's very much a view that just does not exist, sort of say pre 1945, for example, outside of like the Fabian Society and the sort of nonsense words of Whig politicians.
Yeah.
The idea that you could be free in the abstract was unthinkable.
And free from what?
Yeah, not exactly.
it's also tiresome.
Freedom from being free.
We shall soldier on. The second one we use is, we use the term ritual humiliation, but usually what we're referring to is mass media.
Yes.
All mass media of all kinds, TV, movies, and especially news media and social media, all of it is steeped in these acts of ritual humiliation.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of discussion on this on Twitter a couple of days ago with the GPS or whatever his name is, the German guy that does some of the COVID stuff. And he'd sort of put forward the kind of idea that at the end of the day, consuming all this garbage online is probably not good for you. The endless, you know, videos of black on white violence or ex-LGBT activists doing something horrific in front of children, or here's a news report about what this Muslim grooming gang's done to this 14-year-old. It just, it never ends. And I think it never ends for a very important reason, which is that they don't, as a very simple sense, they don't want you happy. They don't want you thinking about things that are upbeat or glorious or magnificent. You know, to take your anguish for the world and turn it into art or sculptures or writing. Instead, they just want you to fester and never actually be able to escape the just sluice of, I don't know, psychological torture.
I guess I wrote an entire article about this, called Barking at the Headlines. It's the other side of it. It's people exploiting this and regurgitating it to you.
Yes.
As we try not to do, it's the only way to view this in a healthy way is to view it as like as these acts of ritual humiliation. It's to not partake in it. It's to view it as a news zoo. That these are words on paper. They have no meaning and they are not related to reality.
No.
They are abstract things.
I mean, it goes to show as well that, you know, the people who engage with this content and otherwise engage with the stuff we see on Twitter are probably several cuts above the average person. So maybe we have a bit of a blinders on for this, but there really is hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people out there who are spending hours upon, probably hours, every day watching X montage of liberal TikTok. Someone reacting to it and disgust for forever, essentially. This will probably be like a genre of content that will never go away.
You have all this, you know, the mainstream media is covering things like libs of TikTok because they are perfect and powerful demoralization.
Toby Young talking about the furries in schools.
Yeah, yeah.
You called it Medica world.
Yeah, it's Medica world. No, it's internet aristocrat world is what it is. It's the eternal Gamergate. We're stuck, and it's partially my fault. And I'm sorry, guys, but I just wanted to have like a very quick guff montage of Britain must prepare for harder lockdown, says Matt Contact. The COVID inquiry is a great example of a very public and now almost continuous act of ritual humiliation. In fact, that's what the Iraq inquiry was kind of based around too. It's coming back. Yeah. The Iraq inquiry was like 15 years later because that was such a hot potato, but it's coming back many years later when it's too late to correct these problems and showing that no one will ever be punished for anything. And it is that the all the inquiries, government inquiries, are very good examples of British humiliation. But there's just so much silly guff out here, like the whole Wales declares war on unhealthy meal. It's the meal deal ban.
Yes,
they're coming for your Tesco,
they're coming
meal
for
deal.
Your scran.
According to the Welsh government, apparently it's not in this one, but they say that a third of people eat a meal deal almost every day.
Yes, actually, because every time I go to Aldi or Sainsbury's shopping, at any time between, say, 11:30 and 1:00, there are scores of call centre and office workers buying a sandwich, a
grim
fizzy drink, and a bag of crisps.
I would actually die
and
of
a couple of chocolate
bars. I would
bars.
Die of heartburn.
They aren't like us. Maybe that should have been one of the mantras. They aren't like us.
No. Well, they aren't like us. And they really aren't like us. But that's a different one. Bah, 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 bah. Again, the royal stuff is very, very good, kind of both
Meghan
brain rot.
Markle had to learn to be black. That's it. I've seen enough. Get this shite off my
And I
screen.
just obviously wanted to, obviously, our favorite Unheard is basically radical centrist The Guardian. It's, in fact, I would say that Unheard's reporting is worse than The Guardian.
I think I hate these people more than
As
anyone
somebody
else.
who has read apparently 300, like 250 Guardian articles this year alone, like we're only halfway.
Every single one in Unheard is
We're
worse.
gonna
Every
hit
single one of them.
500 at some point. This
Ooh,
big
we're gonna be the biggest fans.
man reads 1,000 Guardian. They're gonna come round to the house with like a big novelty check and like, "You've done it. You're the most liberal man in Britain." And
You
I'm like,
read all the Guardian articles.
the perils of reproductive extremism. Both sides have become mired and contradicted. It's just such guff. And it really is. It's there. It's so terrible. But you are almost, they don't actually force you at gunpoint. But to exist in this sphere, you are almost forced to deal with it. You're almost forced to sit here and look at this all day, every day.
Some people actually are comfortable in their own lives, at least from an outside perspective, and making a livelihood and only ever engaging with this material. And that actually appalls me. Not only that people do it, but some people are actually happy to do so.
So what you're saying is welcome to this week in stupid.
Oh, come on, let's not be that evil to the man.
Yeah, so welcome to this week in stupid. Your enemy's in charge. There's nothing you can do about it. Consume the guff.
Yes,
No.
just waiting for based entertainment products.
It was a different time. It was a different time. And I won't. I won't. I'm going to record the barking at the headlines. Substack peep. Guffstronomics.
Gastronomics.
Thank you, Elsa there. But we have quite a few to rattle through here, so we will continue. That one's been quite well covered. We've tried to drill the ritual humiliation stuff into people.
Yeah, I think maybe the only thing I would say to focus, go look at our, oh, was it leaning at windmills or whatever was this stream?
It was
Tilting at
tinting
rainbows.
up rainbows,
That
yes.
was the one.
Yeah.
Go back and look at that stream because that's basically 90 minutes on why ritual humiliation is just so prominent.
This is one we've stolen from Semyon Gug, but it's a good one, so we've stolen it.
Yes.
Also, it gives us a chance to reference our stream, which I'll just put up in a quick moment. But yeah, being on social media is being inside their weapon. It's very clear that social media has been designed as like an actual informational weapon.
Yes.
That's what it's been designed to do, very, very clearly. It's a data harvesting exercise and an informational weapon.
It's an integral component as well in the construction of narratives.
Yes, it is.
And having you participate and feel like in some way, shape, or form, you are influencing the narrative.
Yeah, it is. It's like a big. I've described it as a parasocial engine before, but
Yes.
being on social media is being inside their weapon. It kind of encapsulates all of it. You are inside the weapon, and you just want to grab people. It's a great thing to grab people and
I
shake
don't
them
know
and
if the
say, but.
stream's on the stream though.
Oh no. I'm going through the saying here.
Ah, right,
I'm
sorry.
moving it on screen. But yeah, we talked about this and quite a few other things in our "You Aren't Paranoid Enough" stream with Simeo Go, which I very much enjoyed. It was we'll try and have him on again at some point. We try and scheme through our backlog of notes that we've got, because we've got quite a few things coming up. We'll have to divide up. So.
It is just so. I have no word for it other than moronic, quite frankly, that there is the view from certain people that you could fight the regime from within side its own security state tools.
Yes.
Because I would like to think that the Prism stream we did pretty much showed this for a
Social
fact.
media is fake and gay. We did the Prism stream. We've done quite a lot as well. There's another one I can't remember the name of, but we've done basically an entire series on the fact that social media was built by the US security state. It was built by them, and is serviced by them and works in conjunction with them and always has.
Or at the very least, it was co-opted so early on that it makes almost no difference.
Yeah, it was co-opted in like the MySpace
And
days.
look, we know from that great success that Brexit was, and the someone like Dominic Cummings and those kind of folk, can use stuff from bloody Cambridge Analytica and completely engage in a political campaign, irrespective of whether or not it works perfectly, solely based on this kind of influence and reciprocal relationship with online sort of media personalities and organizations.
Yes, but we did. We have covered this at length. We've also covered it in some bits on the Substack as well. But maybe one day I'll go back and do a dedicated video just doing the threads of how these social media companies were founded, in at least in their modern form, were founded in conjunction with the security state, because that's a very untold part of it, especially the whole thing that basically selling analytics started because of governments buying them.
Yes.
But that's going to buy the buy. It's not. They're not actually selling ad space. Ads aren't that lucrative.
What's the phrase? If the service is free, you are the product.
Yes, if the service is free, you are the product. But a big one we've been saying for a long time. It's kind of actually one I nicked from bits of the left, because they come out and do this in like a fainting way.
Yes.
But we do it in a much more. It's almost like they do Schmidt wrong. This is something Schmidt would say.
Yes.
The suffering is the point. And yes, somebody did realize that they won't be later on, but the more dystopian looking backgrounds I tend to use are like AI generated, because I think getting an AI to generate tech dystopias is just funny. just put a mirror up to it. It's also so we don't like I also sometimes worry about having like weird rights issues, because I like having bits of art as a background, but I also don't want to just nick people's art and say very spicy things in front of it. I do sympathize about that.
This is true.
So, we do try and have aesthetic backgrounds, and I am experimenting a little bit with making AI construct its own dystopian imagery. But it's just a DALL-E 2 thing. I'm not like running instances and things like that.
But yes, the suffering is the point. The regime will do things explicitly for no other purpose and to make its enemies suffer. And this is like...
Not only its enemies.
Well, not just its enemies, but I think in a lot of instances, the target is the enemies, and anyone else that gets caught up in the way is just collateral, really.
Is it possible I take a darker view of this than you?
No, because I think they're both the same thing at the end of the day.
Well, yeah, it's to also a lot of the time, suffering will be enacted on people. As we've used this phrase a lot during our climate stuff. We've done a lot of climate change streams, a lot of streams around degrowth, demobilization, green economics, green globalism, green power, things like that. We've talked about these things a lot. And because that is the big undercurrent, the undertow of all the current things. But all contained in all that are a lot of measures that are meant to make people's lifestyles harder.
Yes.
To make them harder so they can be given back to them in some form or another later.
With extra sort of grievances.
With extra strings attached.
Yes. And I think of it as well as this is taking the ritual humiliation beyond the psychological and into like the physical realm. In a certain sense, it's maybe one of the other ways you could look at it, that in some aspects this isn't even for any particular goal.
No.
It's actually just sort of like them being petty tricksters.
The best example of that, and the most immediate example I can think of, is all the LTN stuff. It's people waking up and finding that they have to go a mile detour to drive something three doors down to their sick aunt or something, you know. There's all kinds of things where like, oh, I'm trying to deliver furniture to XYZ neighbor because I'm emptying my house. I have to go 2 miles and onto a dual carriageway and off a dual carriageway again. And it's just this, it's what people deal with grinding bureaucracy, but it's the utility of like the Kafkaesque evil parts of bureaucracy. The people assume that these things are done accidentally, they're done as part of incompetence, they're just an outgrowth of large bureaucracies. But it's very clear that the suffering is the point, because the suffering is deliberate. They're deliberately imposing suffering. You're right. It is the most suffering is aimed at their enemies. But they also just see the utility in making the population suffer in certain ways. It's also just a good distraction that people are suffering. If you look at it from a Machiavellian point of view, it's like, well, why wouldn't they do it?
Yes.
If you are in power, Why wouldn't you instill suffering that you can then performatively alleviate on people? This is one you, I guess, it's an extension, I think, of the iron law of oligarchy in some ways.
A lot of ways, yes.
But it's something that you said on social media that people were very upset about. You basically said that there's no cooperation without hierarchy. And really, when you're saying cooperation and hierarchy, you're saying the same thing. And a lot of people got very bent out of shape out of that.
It's just important to remember that hierarchy is the deciding factor in social affairs. And this maybe comes back to the first point about man not being free or equal.
Yeah.
You know, there is, and I say this as someone who spent years studying economics and dealing with mutually exclusive or mutually beneficial exchange and all these kind of things.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, in the vast majority of decision making, there is some individual who exercises a number of determining factors over above the other individual that's involved in the decision.
Well, there should be. That's how the division of labor works.
Otherwise, they would never have to come to the decision in the first place.
Well, the whole point is that you can't have the basic division of labor. You can't have cooperation without somebody who is decisionary.
Well, as soon as you've got five or six people...
As soon as you have two people.
Well, I mean more in the sense of... To make it more simple, we've got the thread I've got on this in a minute as well.
Yes.
That once you have five or six people working on a task, you then need some sort of individual over and above those five or six people to actually manage the whole thing. So we'll go through this here because this is basically an expanded form of it.
Yeah.
Hierarchy / power are the only way to understand human interaction. Cooperation is nothing but an obfuscatory cope. Hierarchy is a grand metaphysic that man has been in touch with for longer than we can really say. Back when slavery and service were honest relationships, it was clear to all men that they served in the great chain of being, from the lowest serf to the highest man, all below God. Even notions of charity and forgiveness from the Christian faith have underneath the metaphysic of hierarchy. Charity requires one to have more to give than the other. Forgiveness speaks to the existence of individuals of higher moral and societal standing. Cooperation, on the other hand, is an enlightenment cope. It is a false and corrupted metaphysic which cannot be factored into the tragic / constrained vision of life and the world around us that was held in traditional times. The notion that human behaviour can be wholly mutual / cooperative in origin, and that this can be a guiding principle for wider societal organization, is wholly false. It is this falsehood that has evolved into the diseases that are liberalism and democracy. In liberal democracy, you're not working with your elites, you're working for them and convincing yourself otherwise, because as moderns we only know indecision, indifference and obfuscation. Elites will always rule you, no matter whether we call it monarchy, democracy, or republicanism. These are all just different ways of saying an organised minority rules over the unorganised masses, and that orders, communication, and ruling legitimacy only flow in one direction, from the rulers down to the ruled. In the modern world, you are still a serf, arguably stripped of holdings, faith, and nation. You are lesser. Topped off with the inability to recognise your place in the great chain of being, instead one has nothing else but self-serving psychological mantras reinforcing your social standing as being the same of that as your master's. Hierarchy and virtue of service could be restored to the effect of ridding many modern social ills. This would have to be a restoration through and through. Almost every crisis of identity politics can be solved by the application of hierarchy and service across sexual and racial lines. This, of course, requires a vitalist Western male force willing and able to rule in this fashion. Unless we ourselves can make or mould this ruling class, then we must wait for its miraculous return by other means. I know I was a bit wordy there, but I just think that all the points that we've really heavily focused on in any form of theory or the ideas of tradition or reaction are sort of all encompassed in there.
Basically, yeah, and a lot of people got very upset about that, to the point that I got DMs and things, but I don't think it's a particularly hard thing to understand. You can't have cooperation without some semblance of order,
no,
either. It's the prerequisites. You can't have large scale cooperation, especially without hierarchy. And you're right, it is the hierarchy comes before the cooperation does.
Yes. And I just think as well that to anyone born before, you know, let's say again, the year 1945, they would have at least this notion that, you know, from us as little carbon-based entities on this earth, all the way up to
Hello,
some,
little carbon-based entity. Sorry.
all the way up to some form of grand being or force or will above us, that there is a communication and a connection that sort of flows in one direction and one direction only. There is no you influencing the big man upstairs. He only influences you.
Yeah, it is that power does really only flow one way, especially within hierarchy. It's very, you're right, it's very cope that people think that they are cooperating within many of the structures they encounter in everyday life, many of the exchanges they have in everyday life. It's the myth of mutualism and all that, but that's why we aren't, like, anarcho-communists. Because basically, if you believe in cooperation without, like, the fist of hierarchy, that's kind of what you're doing.
Well, and we know as well, though, that the people who do say and believe in these things, at least the ones that don't call themselves libertarians, do not care whatsoever for any notion of cooperation. They
No.
just want you invested in their hierarchy under themselves.
Effectively, yes. So keep scheming on then. We have quite a few of these to get through, so.
I mean, this is the classic that I think AA has at least popularized. I'm not sure if it's entirely his alone. But the notion that civilization is incommunicable.
We are not going to bombard you with groids.
No.
Avoid
But we
the
will remind
groid.
you to never relax.
I think you see, this is one that people say and then they don't live. You know what I mean?
No.
This is one that a lot of people, it's become relatively fashionable in certain circles. It's correct. It is correct. The civilization incommunicable.
But
But
the idea here is not that, oh, well, people who happen to live in Africa because of economic or social conditions are unable to have running water and electricity. The idea here is there is no level of social reform that will mitigate out the factors between, say, Western Europeans and Western
well, it
Africans
also
as to why we can build skyscrapers and they live in mud huts.
Coney Current Year, sad to see Misty Grove Publishing go.
I mean, yes, the fact they're not making books anymore, but that guy's like a weird San Francisco lib.
They also just did go around, like, horribly exploiting certain people. There were some stuff
That
going.
was, I think that might have been the Antelope Hill people that
Oh,
did
sorry, I'm
that
getting that
one.
mixed up. Sorry, there's so many kind of based book publishers that have done slightly shady things,
Yes.
I'm afraid. Yeah, it is sad to see them go, but them's the breaks, I'm afraid.
Yeah, there's somebody in chat's got the right idea there. I'm going to teach a Somalian chicken farmer how to design Bosch combi boilers.
Also, welcome back, Coney Current Year. Thank you for your
Being a
recurring.
member.
Yes, thank you for being a member. It also works both ways, though. A lot of people don't like to hear this, but, like, you actually cannot become Japanese. There's a huge amount of Western
I
people
think
who,
I'm turning Japanese
yeah,
now.
there's a huge amount of Western people who try
Get
and.
the gift from like Tom and Jerry where he's got like the hat and he's on the burner with the chopsticks at his nose.
I have to find that image now. But there's a lot of people. This is really also civilization incommunicable is just kind of owning the weebs. It's
Yes.
like, I'm sorry, but you are what you are. You are of the civilization you are of, and you cannot simply become
Tell you
someone
what,
else's
will you
communication,
get the gif up?
civilization.
I will briefly mention to some people a fact that may or may not be wholly known by them, but I'll give the people in chat, you know, a brief moment to guess who it might have been that was one of the only races in the world to disinvent the wheel.
There's been a few of them, but
You might just have to look up like Chinese or something. It was definitely posted in the WM anyway.
oh dear, I'm trying to find
There you go with
it.
the record. Oh no, it's so good.
I need the GIF version though. We'll have to get that one on. That's a great GIF. Do-do-do-do-do-do. There we go. Let me nick this. Here we go. That's the one where he's got the record straw hat on. Oh, the past. The past was a lot funnier. There it is. People can actually see it now.
We'll just
leave him revolving
but
there.
And the same reason that, like, it's very clear that the Chinese are not capable of constructing Western... I don't know, we just bash the idea of cooperation. But I don't think Enlightenment values could have came from any other people in the world.
Well, they're not good at fitting into a hierarchy, effectively, is the big... That's the whole thing if you study medieval Europe and how medieval Europe created a situation where, you know, the first people were tall as they can be genetically because we had so much food. That was a whole system from serf to king that was tightly,
the great chain of being.
Yeah, a hierarchy fed Europe and fed Europe very effectively. That's how we were able to go out and kick the shit out of the rest of the world because we were actually just bigger and stronger as well. People forget that.
Sorry, I can't look away from this gap. It's too good.
It's hypnotic, yes. It's very I'm gonna have to put him away now. Mr. Tom is going away.
But yes, if you weren't already aware, people from Africa were shown the wheel at some point by the Egyptians, who we know by the fact that they didn't.
Also Arab traders.
Yes.
Camel boys. Yeah, although they lost it on their own as well.
Yeah, this is true.
Because they had the camels.
There was the wheel, and then...
There wasn't the wheel anymore.
They somehow forgot it. Charlemagne's airport adventure proves that, civilization is incommunicable.
That was a great adventure. For those who don't know, Charlemagne...
I believe he's still on this adventure, by the way.
Oh, no. Bring our boy home. Thank you for the £2 going to current year.
He just wants the planes to
run on time. Yeah. But the point is that civilization is incommunicable. Here's one I think is a good one that people... I don't know if people will understand this fully or not, but you got a little bit autistic about the term multiculturalism. Because even using the term multiculturalism... It's a language game.
Yes.
You are admitting it exists. Multiculturalism isn't possible.
No, it's
and
not.
And the term itself is nonsense.
To be open to two cultures at once is to support the negation of both of them, especially your own native one. And this, again, is... I almost think of this in the very same way that you have... We talked about sovereignty during the Brexit stream. You cannot have two sovereign beings. To have two sovereign beings negates the status of sovereign. So to have two cultures within one culture, it's a waste of time. It doesn't work. I mean, you might say that you could have two different strains of a culture, you know, existing, say, in one pocket of a minority in a country otherwise. But we know that a culture comes from a nation filled with people who are... What would be the phrase? Homogeneous.
Yeah, they are the same people.
For who knows how many hundreds, if not thousands of years. There is this sort of trifecta and connection there that brews what we can look back on nowadays and appreciate as culture.
Well, there's the whole thing of like, well, borders are just lines. And then in Africa, if you draw the lines wrong, everyone will kill each other.
Yes.
It's quite important that people understand the fact that within a border of a nation and within, you know, a people, you can only have one culture.
Yeah.
And when that stops happening, when you stop having that shared culture, you just don't have culture. That's why the mantra of the current elite is that Britain has no culture.
Yes.
And Britain has never had a culture.
Well, this is them telling you it. Culture is race. Race is culture. The left have been saying that for the last 20, 30 years. And they know fair well, from that view, that if you have a multi-ethnic society, you have, in theory, multiculturalism, which is the negation of culture. I think the closest thing that you could actually point to as multiculturalism would be sort of third world superstitions, social mores, and a general want for excess, promoted by first world supply chains and logistics, which means they just get blown out of proportion. I mean, I would imagine to a certain extent, as much as, I mean, we could maybe make this point that's related to the civilization is communicable, blacks in America do not act like blacks in Africa.
No.
And that's not to say blacks in Africa are all of a sudden like our newfangled modern Europeans or anything like that, but there's definitely a difference between how they act.
It has almost become a meme, because what happens is you'll get the breakout, you see it on social media, and it's one of, I think, the only genuine interactions I see sometimes are between this like intergroup thing of the black Africans going, nah, you stay there. You lost the war and we sold you.
But no, I would basically just say that anyone who is watching this stream just now or watching it back, if you ever at any point in future see someone use the word multiculturalism, actually just do the equivalent of pulling them aside and saying no. Multiculturalism is anti-culturalism. Culture is race. Race is culture. There can only be one. It has to be mono.
And I'd say having that as a caveat every time you feel you need to mention it is actually quite good. It's training, and it's also like a lot of what the left does is every time a certain subject is mentioned, a certain caveat comes with it automatically.
Well, yeah,
incredibly powerful.
We sort of had a brief discussion with a special guest that we were talking to in Wigan a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And we sort of came to the point, sort of some point along the conversation, of essentially realizing that, well, if all we did was make sure that within at least most corners of the right, the conversation around culture is an explicitly ethnic one.
Yeah.
Then that we have succeeded to some degree. And yeah, this is actually a worthwhile goal to stick behind.
Just soak into it. Just, you know, was it repetition legitimizes?
Well, especially as well, to a certain extent.
Repetition legitimizes.
We know that GB News and this, that, and the next group are looking to basically adopt as many of our talking points as possible. Can we make them adopt ethno-nationalism offers?
I don't think so, but we can give it a
try. There's only one way to find out.
There's only one way to find out. A very important one, I know a lot of you guys know this, but it's a big stumbling point I find for people who haven't been going in the right environments, let's say,
no.
Because there's been a lot of discussion, and I was very alarmed behind the scenes by this discussion with certain people about the unwillingness of them to refer to our current elite as evil.
Yes.
Because it's the whole point that people say, well, the left are evil. They are. In the abstract, there's an oversimplification, blah, 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 party politics. But it's true. You need to be willing to say that your identified enemy is evil.
Well, this is also the corollary of the suffering is the point.
Yeah.
The reason the elites want to make you suffer is not because they're stupid, because they're evil. You should not run around armed with Hanlon's razor, essentially debunking conspiracy theories, because actually they just did this because they're stupid and it's emergent.
It's so, like I said, it's so stupid, especially once you consider the type of people who worm their way to the top of the greasy pole.
Mm.
That is much more likely those people are acting deliberately. And the idea that these people are able to create this nightmare situation to their benefit and are also doing it out of incompetence doesn't work. Those two things completely detonate each other. And really, as I put in the notes, Hanlon's razor needs to go back to fucking Reddit along with horseshoe theory.
Or just invert it.
Yeah.
The only good Hanlon's razor is the one that you have backwards.
Yeah.
Because you're meant to stab your enemy with it, not yourself. But you as well have got a picture there of one Mr. Epstein.
Yes, with Prince Andrew.
Yes. Now, we know, because we are sensible people who actually understand how the world works, that people get into position of powers because more than likely they are under cause of blackmail for whatever sordid actions they have done or wish to partake in.
Yeah.
And that this is something that should actually just be a default fact. There should be no person with any greater level of recognition or prominence in public society you do not look to as slime because they have got to there.
Mm.
If they were a good person who was not engaged in sordid acts, they wouldn't have been chosen for that role.
Well, this will come up repeatedly over the next few weeks, but never trust anybody who has been through Conservative Party candidate selection. If you can make it through Conservative Party candidate election, you are, by virtue of that fact, either an absolute dribbler, you are actually like the Radio 4 Archers listener, or you are somebody who is a wrong'un.
Yes.
There is nobody who has been through that process who is useful. And if you find out someone has ever been a candidate for anything for the Conservative Party, run away from those people. Because yes. I've known people who've been candidates for councillors, but they've all been like they have been the nice but dim. Like they're really keen on, in their low level positions, getting idiots. And if someone very visibly is not an idiot, then that person is probably a wrong'un. Thank you, RCW, for the £5. Quality content. Well, we do try, but we do have a bit more to get through.
If we move on to the next one here, this somewhat relates to something someone in the chat was asking about. Should we just completely separate ourselves from media? Yes.
To a degree, if that's what you feel like you need to do, yes. I think the wisest thing most people can do is drop out of the news cycle. It's to deglobalize their mind.
Forget the current thing.
Yes. Do not engaging. Opposing the current thing is still engaging with the current thing. Just how it reminds me of the shitposting, ironically, is still shitposting. But it's true. Again, I it's one of those things where you just want to kind of like grab people and shake them a bit and be like, deglobalize your mind. There's also another thing as well about not letting your mind be polluted. We mentioned the ritual humiliation. You mentioned who's the guy you talked about, sorry, who was talking about all the black people videos on social media, like we were.
I think it was that UGPS guy. But it's something we've also
mentioned. Yeah, we've also talked about that. Like, why don't let like groids live rent-free in your head?
No.
Don't. Because there's a lot of people that we encounter who are like, they have like Jonathan Greenblatt who lives in their head.
Yes.
And they just think that they can't talk about certain things.
The Jews are out there. The blacks are out there, the paedophiles are out there, the managerialists are out there.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, at this moment in time, there is nothing you can do about them. This is something we just have to accept. So go and just ignore them and build something worthwhile that means either you and yours are fine, or even more if you're able to engage in any effort to, that we can continue doing any form of...
There's no reason to continuously beam those people directly into your eyeballs.
No.
And there's also no reason to beam their media directly into your eyeballs.
And you can help deglobalize your mind with our helpful three-step plan.
Here's our three-step plan to deglobalize your mind.
Go pub. Read books from before 1945. And possibly most importantly, and a crucial component of going pub, smoke.
Well, it's what is it? We'll refer to it as Hat's Law, which is being right wing is being right wing is about smoking. The more you smoke, the more right wing you are.
If you actually are willing to go to a pub wearing something approaching a tailored suit and drink tasteful drinks and smoke a cigar, you're probably going to have some of the best conversations you've ever had in your life.
It's a conversation starter, if nothing else.
And also the last thing that you're going to be thinking of is, what's Wagner Division doing today? What happened on the Titan submarine? What has Dylan Mulvaney done now? You know, these things do not come into the mind of the individual who's fully ensconced in their own local culture, at their own public house, enjoying a fantastic pint and a tobacco product.
Well, there's some good essays out there on this fact. I'm reminded once again of Mr. Hatt's authentic reactionary speech from the original Shieldings. I wrote about it somewhat. There's bits and pieces of that in my American Disease piece, in which I talk about the fact that the globalization of media is largely an American project, and that a lot of people have just been following in the coattails of really Hollywood and television and all of this stuff. It's relatively new, and it's not something people are used to yet.
The pre-1945 literature thing is very important.
Yes.
Go out there and buy works from Carlyle. If you have second-hand bookstores of any relative size near you, or even just charity shops, if you see anything that is even fiction or non-fiction material from prior to that period, pick it up and read it, because you will probably not be disappointed by the way it portrays the world and how different that is to the world around you. And I think the only thing I'll add to that is that these three steps, I think, encompass the basic initiation into what is essentially the religious experience of deliberalizing yourself. Basically. And I think that's what Hat was talking about in his authentic reaction speech all the way back then, is that it's not just an academic endeavour. It is personal and spiritual, two levels which I think even us as moderns are really not capable of understanding. We're just aware that it's not, it's just not the same.
Well, the last one is one I like to end my posts with it sometimes. I used to do a lot of that when I was on Twitter, but Twitter is a silly place, and we shall not be going back there. There's not going to Twitter. It's a silly place.
It is.
Or you can find me posting on Telegram, so that is incentive to join there. But what do I mean by extrapolate outwards? It's usually me saying extrapolate this outwards, the post above, but it really it's a lot of people's default is that everything they see is true and the things that they can prove are false are false. But really what I do is that when you start seeing behind the curtain, extrapolate what you see behind the curtain outwards. That's really what we do here. What we do is we've kind of crowbarred open things by looking at a lot of the intra-elite rhetoric and some of the stuff that leaks out of their proper behind-the-scenes stuff. And when you realize that that is just how they operate, you need to apply that to all of it. You need to extrapolate all of it outwards.
Because well, yes.
You won't have the inner details of most of the machinations, but you'll be able to build a map of it from how their intentions are, from how they work as a group, and how they act as a class.
Well, it also allows you to come up with, I hate to use this word, I mean it in the most simple sense, but a model for what would happen if the phenomena that you are extrapolating out is so prevalent. And yes. Then if that result actually happens, one, it means that the theory you've got is maybe somewhat on the money, and two, you can work backwards through those events to see if the same processes have happened. I mean, this is a very basic intellectual exercise, which is to take any proposition or statement and work it right through to its logical conclusions. And sometimes that means taking it almost to an absurd level, because in that absurdity, you either realise that the thing itself is so false that when it's taken to that level, a bizarre sort of backwards truth is spat out of it, or the thing itself is so true that when taken to an absurd level and applied to absurd examples, it still holds.
See our stream, one of our earlier streams, actually, back when you were Trig.
that's going to confuse a lot of folk.
No. Our Navigating the Rabbit Hole one was one where we talk about the fact that there's also a problem with this approach, in that if you don't do it properly, you end up with Q.
Mm.
Q has been a great exercise in giving people a false glimpse behind the curtain, and then they extrapolate that to the whole world.
But the people who follow Q are not capable of doing this mentally, I believe.
You need to actually be capable of proper like pattern recognition and information filtering.
Well, it's also, just as I've mentioned here, and this comes back to the semiogog stream, that paranoia should be your default state. Suspicion is a moral good. Not sort of just accepting everything that comes to you at face value as a basic survival instinct that man sort of polished to a very sharp point up until maybe about a century ago, at which point he decided to dispense with it entirely because of the overabundance of food and pleasure.
Which
gets us round to maybe our final bonus point, which is that man is not inherently good.
No.
Shall we get the little snippet up for that as well?
Oh, yeah, we can do. I was just looking what I did with that, actually. Oh, it's there, okay.
And this is again the sort of same.
Is this from the same book?
Extreme. It is indeed actually from the same book,
which is
Anthony Ludovici's "The False Assumptions of Democracy" from like 1921 or 1920. It is suspicion, above all, that is needed wherever we turn in our modern storehouse of ideals and panaceas. Suspicion, coupled with a conviction that man is desperately weary in body and soul.
That's a great quote there.
But the, you know, man is not free, man is not equal, and in his heart he is not inherently good.
No.
Otherwise there would be no need for the concepts of virtue or greatness, because they would speak to the fact that you didn't have to try to be great. To be great takes extraneous effort, and in expending that extraneous effort, you cannot be free, You will not be equal to others, and more than likely, you will not be allowed to, you will not be able to be fair or not suspicious of others to achieve that greatness.
A fair comment there from Albion in Exile. You should put what you think are the most essential streams to a playlist for easy sharing. I'll be doing that by subject area. The thing is, what people find most essential is different.
Yes.
A lot of people like some of our lighter streams and our more fun streams and our more conversational streams. Some people like our more serious streams. Some people out there. Some people like different types of streams. So what is essential kind of varies from person to person. But I'll put together security state playlists. I'll put together kind of conspiratorial, like, because we've done stuff about the whole conspiracy that turned out to be true stuff before. We've done the Navigating the Rabbit Hole stuff way back then, and I think that still holds up.
Yeah,
because we made those deliberately not to date. We made those to try and make them as evergreen as possible without having too much current thing guff in them, which is what we try and do with these.
On a slightly a different side, I'm going to posit a question to the people in chat, because I see Coney currently here saying, I think the audio recording of the essays are essential. Would there be people out there who would be comfortable with, say, the audio for essays being something that is exclusive either to a paid section on the Patreon or members on the YouTube channel? Because ultimately, the essays are there for people to read.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a little bit extra work, especially for to insert maybe a little graphic. And, you know, to actually do 15 minutes of recorded audio that is high quality takes more time than it really does for us to record the streams, because we seem to be rather good live, but then kind of struggle.
The things require a certain wording, a certain cadence.
Yes.
You also don't want to sound wooden. You don't want to improv too much and lose the point.
No.
It's difficult because things are not written in the same way that they are said. I write in quite a conversational way, generally. That's been pointed out to me many times. But academic writing is different than you would give it as a lecture. So it is. There's a bit of adaptation there, but it's also, I'll be doing them anyway. To be fair, I don't think our audience is quite big enough to start paywalling stuff yet, but we might do in the future.
I think it's a good way to start, because I think the people who want that kind of thing will appreciate it. And clearly, Coney himself is already a member. There are people who are members essentially for the Substack, despite the fact that it has really only one piece of paid content. So I think actually giving them paid audio essays might be a little nice addition onto that. We'll work it out as we go.
We might come up with some incentive and some reward.
Yes.
Because a lot of you are, that we have like 20, 25 members now. So there will be some kind of reward, and then there might be a little bit of putting stuff as well. The thing is, we need to get the content right. We need to get the amounts right, and we need to have kind of excess stuff. So we'll try and balance that, but that's a discussion for another time. I know there's quite a few people that will be able to spot it, but I'd rather at the moment a lot of it just be seen.
That's what I'm saying. The articles are still there, and we already have audio readings of some of them. I was just an idea I was putting out.
I would like to start doing something
yes.
that rewards people for supporting us, though. Because right now, you guys really, really just do it for the hell of it, which is great. It's fine. It's good. But we're not very good at being internet people.
No.
We
have too much of a conscience.
I also, I have a job as well.
This is also true.
So The moment I start prioritizing this over that, everything goes to shit.
Yes.
It's because we make nowhere near enough to live off this, and I don't think we ever will, honestly. Especially with the way the internet is shifting.
But we can always have a go at making it at least somewhat more worth our time. As an aside as well, I'm quite glad to somewhat announce on their behalf that the Shieldings folk will be having an event this year. I know there's been a little bit of uncertainty around it. Is why we've not gone full headlong into sorting our next event as well, because we want to make sure that they can get theirs off the ground. We weren't totally sure if, depending on what the dates were going to be, if they were too close. So, details and other stuff to be announced soon, but the weekend of August 25th to 27th, there will be, in a sense, another Witan-style event. We have no idea who so far may or may not be speaking at it, so keep your ears peeled. I'll probably be putting in a pitch for a speech either way, so hopefully see some of you there. Because, again, it's another one of those things that there's a small number of people out there, but if you're committed to this stuff and you really want to make a difference, I think the Witan is probably the place to be, as subsequently will be Nomos in October.
Yes, we'll be putting more stuff out for it. We'll hopefully get this one off the ground this time. I know we had to cancel our previous Nomos event, but everyone who wants a refund was refunded. So don't worry, guys. If we do not end up doing it, you will be able to get a refund with our events. We try and pride ourselves on that.
I'm pretty certain that this one should go off without a hitch.
Yes,
so.
But I know there was a little bit of uncertainty and unhappiness last time, but mostly just because people want to come to the event. I do sympathise. There's not the fullest calendar for this kind of thing. Thank you for the $5 there, Moose. Just saying thanks for the stream. Thank you for showing up. And thank everyone who has shown up. Once again, do interact with these videos if you want to see more of them. We've already advertised a Substack and things like that previously. There's always links down below. I know that's an internet, kind of a YouTube cliche, but we have the Substack. I'll be trying to cross-post a bit more, be a bit more organized with it, since I seem to have a smidgen more spare time at the moment, although that probably will not last. And yeah, we do just fly by the seat of our pants with this, really. There's a lot of planning involved in it, but we do it in the spare hours where we can. So
also, I will suggest to everyone to prepare yourselves, because the stuff we might have coming out over the next few weeks is definitely worth tuning in for. It will be somewhat information intensive and probably in a lot of ways for a lot of people disconcerting, either because they never believed things could be this bad or they want to deny the fact that it's happening as we see it is, but that would be nothing new really in that sense.
No, we wouldn't. I don't think these will be a particularly popular series of streams with certain groups of people, let's say, but we've mapped out quite a lot of stuff, and I think we have enough evidence to be able to make a very convincing point of a huge amount of non-genuine actors directly in our midst. Just a lot of it's all out there in the public. We're not doing the red lines thing here. We can just show you where the money comes from. We could just show you the people involved and show you their previous incarnations. It's quite shocking that this stuff is allowed to happen and allowed to penetrate our spheres as much as it does. But yeah,
we shan't spoil it.
No, we shan't spoil it, but I will say that we can show direct lines between quote unquote large amounts of dissident content and just like the Home Office and the Gates Foundation and all of these organizations that we are supposed to be very suspicious of. But we'll leave that one there.
But I think that's all from us this evening. So I suppose I will bid you all a good night and have a good weekend. Go to the fucking pub.
Yeah. Go to the pub. That's a good way to end on it. Okay, we'll see you guys later. Bye.